The 100 Years' War, the interim period between the Battle of Poitiers and the rise of Du Guesclin, the end of the Paris Revolt. As the news of Étienne Marcel's death spread, there was a spontaneous uprising all over Paris. All the fury which had once been directed at the friends and servants of the Dauphin were now turned against the associates of Marcel and Charles of Navarre. Men stuffed their patrie-colored hoods in the hidden corners of their homes, said Jean Devent, and went out on the street to cheer and shout out the Dauphin's name. Giles Marcel, the provost's cousin, and Jean de Lys, one of the captains of his militia, were found hiding near the Place de Grève in the mansion of Abbot de Oscamp. They were summarily put to death. Another of the provost's associates was found at the Porte de Saint-Martin, trying to get out of the city. He met the same fate. All three corpses were dragged to St. Catherine's Church to be exhibited on the steps beside Marcel's body. On the following morning, the lynchings were stopped and replaced by more methodical procedures. A systematic search was organized, and most of the leaders of Marcel's government, together with a large number of sympathizers, were rounded up. Thomas de Lédit, Charles of Navarre's tireless counselor, chancellor, and ambassador over more than 5 years, was found disguised as a monk. Charles Toussac and Jérôme de Mâcon were arrested and escorted through the screaming crowds to the Châtelet to await the Dauphin's pleasure with the rest. In the Abbey of Saint-Denis, the King of Navarre proceeded immediately to extremes. He resolved to embark upon a full-scale civil war against the Dauphin and the Parisians in alliance with the King of England. A commission of 6 of his closest counselors sat down with Gilbert Castelnier, Stephen Cussington, and John Fotheringhay to work out what terms would be acceptable to Edward III. They drew up an agreed memorandum to be presented to the two principals. It envisioned nothing less than the partition of France between Charles of Navarre and the King of England. Charles was to have Champagne and Brie. Subject to further negotiations, he was also to have Picardy, the county of Chartres, and the whole Duchy of Normandy. He would have become the dominant power in northern France. Edward III would become King of France with the rest of the royal domain and his own conquests and inheritances in the southwest. This remarkable document was sealed on August 1, 1358, the day after Marcel's murder. On the following day, Charles of Navarre and his brother Philip began to test the defenses of the capital. They led their army around the north side of the walls. They occupied the abbey and the suburb of Saint-Laurent on the Senlis Road. It looked as if they were preparing for an assault on Paris, but they were too late. On the evening of August the 2nd, the Dauphin entered Paris by the Porte de Saint-Antoine. His cavalcade rode past the battered corpses of his enemy still exhibited on the steps of St. Catherine's Church. From Saint-Laurent, the King of Navarre could see the great cloud of dust thrown up by their horses as they came up the Roman road. He retreated with his men to Saint-Denis. There he plundered the abbey and marched away to Mantes to prepare larger schemes of revenge. The purge of the Dauphin's enemies continued for several days. A commission of 10 men, most of them actually professional judges, was set up to find and punish supporters of the defeated revolution. Charles Toussac and Josserand Mâcon were dragged on hurdles from the Châtelet to the Place de Grève a few hours before the Dauphin entered the city and beheaded in front of the town hall. Pierre Giles, who had led the Parisian army at Genos and Meaux, was beheaded at Les Halles 2 days later. Giles Sirard, a renegade knight who had held the Louvre for Étienne Marcel, died with him. A succession of minor figures followed to their deaths during the next few days. Others died more obscurely, the victims of public or private vendettas. We do not know what crimes caused the Dauphin to have Jean Beauvoisin immured in an oubliette until he died. Michel de Saint-Germain, a long-standing enemy of the brothers Barac, the Dauphin's coinage specialist, was taken to the Châtelet and drowned without trial, record, or confessor. For every man who died, there were scores more who were denounced by neighbors or enemies for real or imagined connections with the revolution. They fled or passed uncomfortable weeks in prison or had to plead for pardons to save themselves. Robert of Corbeil, the radical representative of Amiens at the Estates General, was found hiding in the house of the parish priest of Saint Genevieve and taken to the Châtelet. Jean Marcel had played a very minor role in his brother's revolution, but was kept in prison for some time before he was eventually pardoned and released. Many others had their possessions confiscated and distributed to the friends and ministers of the Dauphin and to the rapidly growing band of time servers and syncopaths who were congregating around them. They included some very insignificant revolutionaries, a sergeant of the watch, a valeur who had appraised the confiscated goods of Marcel's victims. On August the 10th, 1358, a general amnesty was announced. It was extended to the city of Paris, to its officers, and to its inhabitants, except only those who had been in the secret councils of Étienne Marcel. By then, almost all who had been in Marcel's secret councils were dead. Of the great figures of the revolution, only Robert Lecoq had succeeded in escaping the city. The last victim of the purge was Thomas de Ladette. Being an ordained priest, he could not be condemned to death, but he was kept in custody and interrogated at length about the whole of Charles's conduct from the time of his escape from Arleux. He was made to produce an extravagant confession, part of which he had to recite in public before the Dauphin and a large audience of invited guests. Then on September the 12th, he was taken to the royal palace to be transferred to the bishop's prison. As he emerged with his guards into the Rue des Barrières, he was attacked by a band of assassins lying in wait for him, who battered him to death. His death was undoubtedly convenient and probably officially arranged. His body lay exposed for a few hours in the street under the torrential rain until, as evening drew in, men came to drag it to the Strand and cast it into the Seine. Well, needless to say, this is been the ugly end to the revolution in Paris, which of course is usually what happens when you have revolutions and they fail. You can look at the French Revolution when it becomes extremely radical, and when the radicals are finally put down, we have what is known as the White Terror. So anytime you have one group that comes in and takes over and then punishes people they don't like, when they're overthrown, the same thing happens. People come back for revenge. But it's usually referred to as a white terror. You don't necessarily see that reference frequently, but that's what they used in the French Revolution, and it's kind of used at other times. Now, at the end of this, we find ourselves in an interesting position. It is just wide open. Now, we have the Dauphin. He is unable to really do anything to unify the country. We have Edward III, who still holds John II. So what is going to take place is we're going to have a period where various roving bands or companies are going to be roaming the country, setting up their own little kingdoms. So it's going to be a little messy for a while longer before John II is ultimately released on ransom. Fortunately, he's not going to live much longer. So then that will lead to the Dauphin becoming the King of France, Charles V. Now, the sources for this: The 100 Years' War by Nylands, The 100 Years' War by Perrois, The 100 Years' War Trial by Fire by Sumption. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com. Ask a question, leave a comment, check out the merchandise. And if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.